Welcome to the deep dive. We cut through the noise, get straight to the fascinating core of critical issues. Today, we're plunging into a problem that's, well, it's literally everywhere. Microplastics.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're in our soil, our oceans, the air, even the water we drink.
It's pretty pervasive.
It is. It feels relentless.
Mm.
But what if the real danger isn't just their size, but something, more insidious? Our mission today is to dive into something that might just redefine how you think about plastic pollution.
Okay.
It's not just the smallness. It's the persistence. That's the true enemy here.
Persistence, right.
We'll unpack this whole issue, microplastics, plastic pollution, and explore a surprising, scientifically backed solution for the plastic that, well, inevitably escapes our waste management systems.
Which happens more than we think.
Exactly. We've got a stack of fascinating sources for you. Everything from cutting-edge scientific studies, independent research, to key regulatory approvals, expert opinion.
Global perspective.
A truly global perspective. By the end of this, you'll understand what microplastics really are, why traditional solutions aren't quite enough, and discover a technology designed to make a real difference. Right where it's needed most. Out there in the open environment.
Okay, let's get into it.
So let's dig in. The main source of microplastics. Surprisingly, it's just ordinary plastic.
Yeah, everyday stuff.
Yeah, the stuff we use every day. It fragments, breaks into smaller pieces when it's out in the weather, sun, wind, rain.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the kicker, and this is crucial. Ordinary plastic, it persists. It hangs around.
Because of its structure.
Right. It's high molecular weight. Think really long, heavy, tangled molecular chains. Like, super strong ropes.
Yeah, very tightly bound.
That structure prevents them from biodegrading naturally.
Blech.
You just keep getting smaller and smaller.
Like tiny, indestructible bits.
Exactly. Tiny, indestructible bits of plastic lasting for centuries, maybe.
And what's truly fascinating here is just the sheer scale of this.
Right.
You take a country like Switzerland, right? Incredibly efficient waste management.
Top tier.
Yet the Swiss Federal Office for the Environment, they report around 14,000 tons of plastics still end up in soil and waters every year.
14,000 tons. Even there.
Even there. Mostly from things like abrasion, decomposition, and some improper disposal too. It really shows why those traditional policies, reduce, reuse, recycle, they're vital, absolutely. But
they're not the whole picture.
They're not sufficient for all plastic,
yeah.
Especially the stuff that just, escapes into the environment.
There seems to be quite a lot.
It is. And yeah, some microplastics come from other things like man-made fibers, maybe even some from recycling or composting processes themselves. But it's worth pointing out, vehicle tire fragments, that's rubber, not plastic. Different issue.
Okay, good distinction. So that paints a pretty persistent picture, doesn't it?
It does.
It really drives home that, okay, we recycle, we try, but there's this whole category of plastic that just escapes. It doesn't fit those neat solutions once it's out there. And that's where this next piece, D2W technology, comes in.
Right.
It's introduced as a solution specifically for that escaped plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Its core purpose, to actively dismantle those strong molecular chains within the polymer.
Break them down.
Break them down. So once those chains are broken, it's actually no longer plastic.
Mm-hmm.
It can safely biodegrade. It doesn't persist.
That's the goal.
And here's something surprising. This isn't brand new tech.
No, it's been around.
It was invented 50 years ago by scientists like Professor Gerald Scott, who saw this coming. They realized the durability they built into plastic could become a problem later on.
Foresight.
So if it's been around for 50 years,
Why
are we only really hearing about it, as a potential mainstream solution now? What took so long?
That's a really good question. And it gets to the heart of how D2W works differently.
Okay.
See, both ordinary plastic and D2W plastic, they lose strength, they fall apart in sunlight.
Right, they both fragment initially.
Yes, but the crucial difference is what happens after that fragmentation. D2W fragments, they end up with a much lower molecular weight. The chains are broken down into much smaller, simpler compounds.
Okay, simpler.
Which makes them accessible. Food, essentially, for naturally occurring microorganisms.
Oh, so nature can actually handle them then.
Exactly. The secret is a special ingredient, a protodegradant catalyst. Think of it like a tiny molecular pair of scissors speeding up the natural breakdown.
An accelerant.
An accelerant, good word. And crucially, it removes the dependence on sunlight.
Oh, that's important.
Very. It means degradation continues even in the dark, or if it gets buried. So out of sight isn't out of process.
Okay.
It transforms from plastic into a kind of waxy substance.
Waxy?
Yeah, chemically different. And then it becomes food, nutrition for those microbes. Queen Mary University actually did a study. They found D2W can degrade up to 90 times faster than conventional plastics under the same conditions.
90 times faster. Oh. Wow, that's a huge difference.
It's a significant acceleration.
Can you give us a sense of what that looks like? Like in the real world, are we talking days, weeks, months?
It depends on the environment, of course. Temperature, microbes present. But that initial breakdown, dismantling the plastic structure, happens much faster. It means it transforms into that biodegradable, waxy state, ready for microbes within months to maybe a few years, not centuries.
Months to a few years versus centuries.
You are.
And just to be crystal clear for everyone listening, this D2W is for things like bottles, packaging, farm plastics, stuff made from polyethylene, polypropylene.
Yes, the common ones, PE and PP, things that are often littered, unfortunately.
And it only biodegrades if it escapes into the environment, right, at the end of its life.
That's the design. It's meant to be used like normal plastic.
And it can still be recycled if it's collected, like if it makes it into the recycling bin.
Absolutely. If it's collected, it can go into the standard recycling streams for PE and PP. The additive level is very low, around 1%.
Okay, so it functions normally unless it escapes.
Correct. The biodegradation is like a safety net for the plastic that gets away.
That brings us to a really fundamental question, I think.
Oh, okay.
If something breaks down like that and then it disappears, it gets eaten by microbes, can we really still call the fragments microplastics in that problematic way we usually mean?
That is the crucial distinction. Yeah.
Because microplastic sounds so permanent, so harmful.
Exactly. And the definition hinges on persistence. A fragment isn't technically a microplastic of concern if it's biodegradable and therefore not persistent. The European Chemicals Agency, ECH, they're a key EU regulator, and also the Dutch National Institute for Public Health.
Okay.
Their reports define microplastics typically as persistent synthetic polymer particles. The whole worry is about persistence. If something disappears quickly through natural processes like biodegradation, it's just not the focus of the concern.
So the key is persistent. If it doesn't persist, it's not the microplastic we're worried about.
Precisely. ECHA highlights that the problem is they are extremely persistent and hard to remove once they're out there.
That's such a vital clarification because there are so many misconceptions floating around, especially about DVW.
There are.
Like, I can almost hear people thinking, okay, biodegradable plastic.
Yeah.
Isn't that just compostable plastic? Can we clear that up? Big difference, I imagine.
Huge difference. Absolutely. D2W biodegradable plastic should definitely not be confused with compostable plastics.
Yeah.
Compostable plastics, they're designed for very specific conditions. Industrial composting facilities, they follow strict standards like ASTM D6400 or EN13432 in Europe. Those ensure they break down properly in that controlled, hot, microbial-rich environment.
But not out in the ocean or by the side of the road.
Exactly. Those standards are totally irrelevant for biodegradation just out in the open environment. Different materials, different purpose.
Okay, so not compostable. And crucially, D2W is also not oxo-degradable plastic.
Yeah.
At least not in the negative way people often use that term.
Right. This is another major point of confusion. It needs clearing up.
Yeah, because oxo-degradable got a really bad rap a while back.
It did, and often for valid reasons concerning older or different formulations. But here's the distinction. Conventional PE and PP do naturally undergo something called oxo-degradation.
Okay.
It's just oxidative cleavage. Sunlight, oxygen break the chain slowly. But over very long periods, this does create persistent microplastics from normal plastic. It's slow, uncontrolled.
Right.
D2W is fundamentally different. It has that intentionally added protodegradant catalyst, the accelerant we mentioned.
The little molecular scissors.
Exactly. To speed up that process and critically take it all the way to full biodegradation, not just fragmentation, as one source bluntly put it. Nobody puts a protodegradant additive into a polymer and markets it as oxo-degradable, they're just different categories.
So D2W uses a catalyst for a controlled, complete process, unlike the slow, natural fragmentation of regular plastic.
Correct. D2W's composition is simple. It's standard PE or PP, plus about 1% of a special master batch. It's just industry talk for a concentrated mix of ingredients. In this case, it contains a salt of manganese or iron, some antioxidant stabilizers, and a polymer carrier. And importantly, it specifically does not contain starch.
Ah, why is starch important? or the lack of it.
Because some much earlier formulations years ago did use starch, and those tended to just fragment into microplastics without fully biodegrading. That's partly where the bad reputation came from. D2W is different chemistry.
Okay, that makes sense. So different formulation, different outcome.
Completely.
Right, now we've cleared up those big misconceptions.
Yeah.
Let's talk validation. Proof.
Yeah, the evidence.
When you have a technology claiming this, independent verification, global recognition, that's absolutely key, isn't it?
It's essential.
So what's the evidence? How has D2W actually held up under serious scientific scrutiny?
Well, it's been studied pretty rigorously, and the evidence is building up significantly.
Okay.
For instance, big news just recently, June 20th, 2025, the Environmental Protection Agency of the Republic of Ireland.
An EU member state.
A full EU member state, yes. They officially approved D2W products.
That sounds major.
It is huge because they confirmed these products do not fall under the EU's single-use plastics directive, the one targeting plastics that cause microplastic pollution.
So Ireland's EPA is saying D2W doesn't cause that problem.
Explicitly. They stated, and I'm quoting here, that D2W is scientifically demonstrated to undergo full biodegradation without leaving behind persistent microplastics or toxic residues.
Wow. Okay. No persistent microplastics, no toxic residues.
Exactly. And the CEO of Symphony Environmental, Michael Laurier, he believes this basically opens the door for D2W right across the EU.
Interesting. What else?
Then there's the OxoMar project. This was a four-year study in France, sponsored by the French government, published in March 2021. Scientists at Olomec, they showed that D2W-type plastics biodegrade efficiently in seawater, crucially without toxicity.
Seawater is key, given ocean plastic.
Absolutely. And then over in the U.S., in March 2024, the American National Standards Institute, ANSI.
Big standards body.
Right. They stated D2W tech can prevent future plastic waste accumulation, it's recyclable, and degrades without producing methane.
Methane's a nasty greenhouse gas, right?
Potent one. And ANSI also explicitly distinguished D2W from that problematic conventional oxo-degradable plastic that just breaks into persistent bits.
So they see the difference too.
Clearly. And looking ahead, Intertech Global Testing Firm, they did a detailed assessment reporting in 2025. They confirmed really high biodegradation rates for D2W, PE, and PP, like 94.55% and 92.76%.
That's very high.
And they showed the molecular weights dropped below 5,000 Daltons. That's a scientific benchmark indicating it's no longer plastic, it's ready for microbes, it's not persistent.
So multiple independent tests showing it biodegrades doesn't persist.
Yes, and even ECHA, the European Chemicals Agency, they studied this type of plastic back starting in late 2017, asked for evidence. By 2018, they advised they were not convinced it creates microplastics. The EU Commission later actually terminated that specific study. And importantly, there's still no actual evidence that microplastics from this specific type of catalyzed plastic have ever been found out there in the environment.
That seems significant. No evidence of harm found.
And beyond those, you've got endorsements from Jordi Labs in the USA, academics in Brazil like Professor Telmo Ojeda, engineer Fernando Figueiredo, the Fanvier Institute NGO in Brazil, Lambton Manufacturing Innovation Center in Canada.
So it's not just one or two studies.
No, it's a growing body of international work. A consensus seems to be building.
It really does. Okay, so let's connect these findings to the bigger picture. Policy, the circular economy.
Right.
It seems like there's this, I don't know, almost shocking blind spot in how many governments are tackling this.
A blind spot, yeah.
You hear circular economy everywhere, you'd think they have all the angles covered, right?
You would hope so.
But despite all that focus, there's still this huge amount of plastic that does escape.
Yeah.
It gets into the environment. It just can't realistically be collected.
Mm.
And astonishingly, it seems no Western government currently has a specific policy for dealing with that escaped plastic. It's like a giant hole in the strategy.
It's a critical observation, and it is a huge gap. Meanwhile, this D2W biodegradable technology, it's already compulsory in places like the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Bahrain.
So it's being used at national scale elsewhere.
Yes, demonstrating it's viable. But in the EU, as we touched on, there's been this confused understanding. It's led some people to mistakenly think D2W is banned, even though Ireland's EPA just officially approved it.
Despite the evidence we just discussed.
Despite the evidence, and that confusion, one source argues, has had a great disbenefit to the European environment.
Caso.
By basically allowing conventional plastic to keep accumulating and persisting when a potential solution for the escaped fraction exists but isn't being widely adopted due to misunderstanding, it's also worth maybe critiquing the plastics industry's general stance here. They've largely stuck to making conventional products, focusing almost entirely on improving recycling rather than perhaps engaging more deeply with experts on this specific technology for the escaped plastic problem.
So, doubling down on recycling, but maybe missing this other piece.
Look, recycling is absolutely essential. So are compostable plastics for the right applications, like food waste bags. We need both.
What?
But neither of them can solve the problem of the plastic that inevitably leaks out, that escapes collection, that ends up blowing down the street or washing into a river.
That's the niche D2W aims for.
That's the specific problem D2W is engineered to solve. And the potential impact is massive. If D2W were widely adopted today for those applications prone to escape, the accumulation of plastic in the oceans, for example, it would start to reduce almost immediately.
Reduce immediately.
Yes, because you'd be cutting off a major source of new persistent plastic entering the system. Over time, it could potentially even be reversed as the legacy plastic very slowly breaks down and less new persistent plastic replaces it.
That's a powerful thought. A way to actually turn the tide to change.
Literally, yes.
Okay, so let's wrap up our deep dive for today. We've really uncovered the true nature of microplastics, haven't we?
I think so.
That it's really about their persistence, not just their size. That's the key takeaway.
Definitely.
We've seen why our current solutions, recycling, composting, they're vital, but they aren't enough for all the plastic out there. There's a gap.
A significant gap.
And most importantly, we've explored this scientifically validated technology, D2W, designed specifically to tackle that critical problem of escaped plastic right at the source.
By making it non-persistent.
Exactly. It's a completely different way of thinking about plastic, really.
It is. And maybe this leaves us and you listening with a thought-provoking idea to chew on.
Okay, leave us with something.
Just consider those vast quantities of plastic, tons and tons every year, that despite all our best efforts, just inevitably escape collection, escape management
The
systems.
stuff that gets away.
The stuff that gets away. Now, if a technology exists, validated, that can ensure that escaped plastic fully biodegrades, disappears naturally, without leaving persistent microplastics or toxic residues. If it can prevent an accumulation that would otherwise last for decades, maybe centuries,
Yeah.
what does that mean for how we need to rethink plastic, how we approach innovation and use going forward?
A big question to ponder. Thank
Yeah.
you for that. And thank you for joining us on the deep dive.